Robin Nelson, school board member, Fargo school board. And let me tell you this, and I've got to believe a lot of folks are saying the same thing. Thank you guys for keeping it Horace Mann.
Oh,
people were calling and emailing his show
that's my school. That's my school. I grew up there.
I didn't know that until I saw that in one of the articles.
Oh, yeah. I got pretty emotional. I kept it together, but we prevailed.
Yeah, I didn't understand. It's like that neighborhood's got history. That's the Horace Mann neighborhood. Why would you even consider changing the name?
Thank you. We agree again, Jake.
Yes, we do. We do. How you been?
I've been great.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen you.
I know. It has been. I catch you once in a while on social media, you and Russ. Are Post-Traumatic doing anything for the holidays? Any concerts or anything?
Yeah, they're doing two Christmas shows at the Sanctuary.
Oh, really?
Yep. Funky Little Christmas, I think is what they... Have yourself a Funky Little Christmas.
Now, how long have they been together, the band?
I want to say 26, 27 years when he first came to Fargo. In Moorhead, he started at.
Yep. And I'll tell you, I might have told you this story before. Alex and I go to the MJ Saloon in West Fargo. This was years ago, 20 plus years ago. And we're like, yeah, let's go honky-tonking. Go out to, we love the MJ. We go out there and this band is playing. It's like, who the hell is this? These guys are fantastic. Fantastic, man. Mm-hmm. At the MJ, I mean, full on. It's like, and it was Post-Traumatic. It's like, like, my God, it's one of the best bands we've ever heard.
Well, we agree yet again. Jay.
Again. Well, we're going to agree on something else, too. Your group, Together for School Meals, you're chairing this committee. You guys have said basically enough with depending on the lawmakers to deal with school lunches K-12. Let's just put it on the ballot and let the citizens vote on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to start every interview with saying that I am not speaking as a Fargo school board member.
No, you're not.
Nor am I speaking as the CEO for the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Red River Valley. So, yeah, you watched us go through it. I've been through two legislative sessions and we did get some movement.
Some.
A couple extra dollars.
Yeah.
But when 80% of most of the polls in North Dakota are supportive of this universal school meals concept. Really, it was kind of our obligation to bring it to the voters.
Yeah, there was, when was this survey? Well, this was done by the North Dakota News Corporation. They did a poll from November 2024, found 82% of North Dakotans support more involvement in paying for school lunches, with a huge 65% saying they strongly support it. A separate survey commissioned by North Dakota United, I believe that's the teachers union.
Yeah,
released in January, found 79% of respondents saying they either strongly or somewhat support free school lunches. So tell us, okay, so what is going to be on this measure?
Sure. So we created some ballot language along with a team of attorneys in our team, and it was turned into the Secretary of State last week, and then we go back and forth what the actual language will be. Mm-hmm. But it's basically all public school districts, public schools, public charter schools, with the option of private schools and native schools to opt in, will have universal free breakfast and lunch. And I
So it is both breakfast and lunch?
Yes, okay. It is. And it's free to the families. Of course, we all know that it's going to come out of our taxes, but that is the goal, and we think we've got the right momentum to get this done finally.
You need 31,164 signatures. Yeah, you got to get you need more than that because you know some get tossed out. When do you need to have those signatures by?
Oh, I believe it's in June. I've never done this before, Jay. I'm
okay.
As I go. Our goal is to get 40,000 signatures, which we don't think will be a problem.
No, not at
and
all.
And then the intent would be to get it on the November 2026 general election ballot.
Okay, so if it gets on the November 2026 ballot, which I think it will, I don't think it's going to be a problem. It gets on the ballot and this thing wins, when would it go into effect?
The following year, so 2027 school year, I believe. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I know that there's been a push for this for a while, and I know there were two bills last session, Bill 1553, House Bill also 1475, estimated cost to North Dakota taxpayers. I believe that was $140 million per biennium. So for 2 years, it's about $70 million a year. Some others were saying about $90 every year. About the same for this.
Yeah. In fact, that is those numbers came from North Dakota DPI, the person who administers the school lunch program. And so she used data from the data she has, those that also apply for the free reduced rates to the federal government, and then our reimbursement rates. And then what we learned and what she learned from watching other elections where these types of ballot initiatives passed, there's a strong uptick in the number of students that have breakfast as well. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to build in all of those contingencies. As I understand it, eventually the Secretary of State or the AG will attach a fiscal note to this ballot initiative or measure on the ballot. Okay. And they're going to refer to the same person who already wrote it.
Okay.
And so we feel that that's still pretty accurate.
Okay. If you got any questions or comments, phone lines are always open to you, 701-293-9000, or you can email me studio@wdayradionow.com if you just want to sound off. I've been for this from the get-go. I have no problem with this. The state can afford it. I think this is a great. I've got a couple reasons why I've always been in favor. Number one, I don't want to see a kids hungry at school. And the argument, their parents need to be more responsible, or fine. I understand that, but kids don't have control over that. Okay, that's the last thing they need to be worried about. They need to be focused on learning. That's what they need to focus on. And if they're sitting there in school trying to learn, trying to focus on an empty stomach, it ain't gonna happen. So again, I'm 100% for this. Second reason is, what's my favorite saying around here when it comes to the state of North Dakota? You don't know how to sell the pen.
Yes.
You can't sell me the pen, or you can't sell people the pen. You talk about wanting families to stay here. You want families to come here. What better selling point to help move that along than saying, look, if you've got kids that are in school, let's say you've got two students school age, K through 12, you as a parent don't pay for their lunches. It's handled, which is going to save you about $2,100 a year, rough estimate. That's a great selling point.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tax break for young families.
It is.
I don't know about you, but when I had kids, when we were young, we didn't have a lot of money, so this would have been a huge deal for us.
No, we didn't have a lot of money. Once in a while, I was fortunate enough for my mom to give me enough for two slices of pizza on Fridays when we had that delicious school pizza on Fridays. But no, we didn't either. I think a majority of North Dakotans still are on board with this. I really do now. If the state, for some reason, Robin Nelson, gets financially strapped or in trouble, how do they get out of this? We're like, hey, we cannot swing this anymore.
Yeah, it's got a backstop. So we left it up to them in this language to find it within their current whatever funds and buckets they take it from. But if they can't find it there, the backstop is they must use legacy fund earnings to pay for it.
Okay, so if this passes, is this a constitutional measure?
It is.
Okay, so that makes it, yeah. So basically, that's pretty damn tough to say, hey, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah. And I do want to say that a lot of legislators do support this concept.
They do, yeah.
They just didn't agree on how to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in representative government, and I'm not a fan of initiated measures.
Yeah.
But we kind of felt obligated to do this. The reason we put it into the state constitution is that is where it explicitly states that the state of North Dakota will provide free public education, and it just fit there, and so that's why it landed where it is.
You know, and that's I'm glad you brought that up. Free education, Ronnie. I know you've got questions about this too. We say free education. Is education really free? I look at it like this. If, and this is just just redneck garage J, but I look at it like this. Legally, my kids have to go to school.
Yes.
Okay. So if the government is saying that you have to go to school, unless you're homeschooled, okay, my kids have to go do this for however many hours a day. then why are you not then taking care of their meals? You're forcing them to, you know, or the parents to make them go to school. Meals should be paid for, should be part of, and I believe eating is part of the education. Because again, if you're at school on an empty stomach, not going to do that well.
Well, and also, you know, there's also what they found, and we found this during the pandemic when we provided breakfast, mm-hmm. attendance rates improved. And there's a big push right now for the attendance rates in North Dakota, and also behavior issues declined. And so there's less disruption to learning with the other students.
Well, you're not hangry.
I've been using that term.
And that's a real thing. It really is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, and if we want to prepare a future good citizen workforce and those that contribute positively to society, I'm always a fan of investing upstream, mm-hmm. so our society doesn't have to pay for it later.
Yeah. And when you look at the school lunch debt, it is crazy how much is out there. Now, yeah, some of it is parents just lazy. I'm not going to pay that thing, because I believe now you can't use collections anymore. So yes. What are they going to do? It's not going to go
away. But you know where that money comes from then?
You and I.
Yeah, well, it's still, it actually comes from school district's general fund.
Yeah, which is our money.
Because once we purchase the meal, and we got to pay for the meal that we purchase. And so it comes out of the same fund that pays our teachers and all of our educators and staff as
That's true. That's true. So, now, will this mess with any federal funding?
Nope.
Not at all.
In fact, the language explicitly states that we will leverage the federal funding, existing federal funding, and the free and reduced meals. So really the only thing that's going to change is how they're paid for. Everything else stays the same. Okay. We have to follow all the USDA guidelines, all of the healthy meal portions and healthy food. So nothing will change. It's not like school districts can now have steak lunches.
Well, they should be able to. That's healthy.
Well, again, you and I agree. But we feel it's pretty foolproof, and a lot of the details will be worked out on the back end.
Email says, every school child gets the same meal no matter if the parents can afford it. If they cannot pay at the end of the year, the state takes care of it. So I'm not understanding what this guy is saying. I'm thinking what he's saying is every school gets a meal no matter what if the parents can afford it. If they cannot pay at the end of the year, the state takes care of it.
Well, and I think he's explaining what this does.
Yeah, it's basically what it does, but it's not waiting until the end of the year to see
Correct.
Who didn't pay.
It's just right up front. Right.
Another email. Great idea for this. I live in Minnesota, and they have the free lunch and breakfast, and it is a blessing for us. Will North Dakotans also include the snack program as well? I don't know what that is.
No, that is not included in this discussion.
What's the snack program?
That I'm not aware of anybody that uses that in schools. I use that in my child cares. Mm-hmm. But this is from the National School Lunch Program.
Okay.
And that's what it's based upon.
Yeah, the snack program I remember was in kindergarten when you brought a snack and you got a milk.
Uh-huh.
I think milk was a nickel, and then you could bring a snack from home. And I still remember to this day my mean old kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Cronin. gave me peanuts one day, shelled peanuts. So it was snack time, and I pull out my peanuts. And she said, that's more than one snack. You have to share them with the class.
You were traumatized. You still remember this.
I remember it to
so
a T.
You got
I was,
one
my
peanut.
Mom was livid.
You got a peanut.
That was one of the many trips over my K-12 education my mom made to one of my schools.
I remember in Horace Mann
being
the kid that was assigned the day to go get the milk crate
out
of the cooler.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
It was.
So,
did you guys have school patrol when you were growing up? Bus patrol?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You would get this
this
band thing that you would wear. It had a buckle on it. It'd go around your waist and then from your waist up over one of your shoulders. And depended on how many years you were bus patrol, you started out with, I think you started out with a white, and then you went to yellow, and then went to red, and it had a little school badge on it, and you walked up and down the aisles of the bus and made sure the kids behaved and wrote them up.
We
had school patrol too, but you had to be in grade school. I think you had to be a sixth grader. And then I think they had it in middle school. Now, back when I went to school, middle school was 7th and 8th grade. I think they had it at middle school. Then after I didn't have it. But you you're a crossing guard, and you stood there at the stop sign. But you got extra credit for that.
That's cool.
And that was cool to get that position.
Bill Sleeters. I will say, we're about the same age. Yeah. My parents made me walk everywhere. There were very few bus kids.
Yeah.
So we all walked to school back then.
Yeah.
Much different now.
Bicycle you take the bus once in a while. You know, sometimes take the bus if my bike got stolen again. Or if the weather is real crappy, get on the bus and go down to Cobb Cook Elementary.
I was a rural kid. So it was for most of my life, 6 or 7 miles to school. And then
uphill both ways, right?
When the district folded, we lived in South Dakota. So we had to go to a South Dakota. Then I was bused 20 miles one way to school and back.
You couldn't bike that?
Well, I suppose I could, but it was all pavement.
I think the most I ever took the bus, I think, was in middle school, because Lincoln Junior High was probably a good 3+ mile, walk or bike ride from home. So that's when we really, and then once you got into high school, high school is a little bit closer, but we were able to ride our snowmobiles to school.
Oh, that's cool.
To high school. Yeah, you could ride. If it was a snowy day. Now, if it's a day like today where it's sunny, but if there was going to be a storm or a lot of snow was coming, you were allowed to bring your snowmobile to school.
Fun.
You just couldn't drive your snowmobiles on any main thoroughfares. You could cross them, but you couldn't ride them. So it'd be hilarious. You'd see all these snowmobiles lined up at school.
Could you strap your guns on the back of your snowmobiles at that age?
No.
like you did in your trucks.
But we couldn't our trucks. Yeah. I mean, honestly, everybody went hunting after school.
I know.
All the guys had, folding in the case, buck knives on their belts. And
I've told Jay that story.
What happened, Robin?
Deer opener.
It's my fault. It's all my fault.
It's all your fault.
Deer opener that Friday, if anybody did go to school, I mean, there was enough arms and ammo to take over a small nation.
Oh, yeah.
In you could clearly see the weapons in the gun racks in the school parking lot. And then in the afternoon, hey, I got a half day because Dad and I are going hunting.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the opening for deer hunting, the rifle opener, that was like a holiday. Mm-hmm. It really was. There was nobody in school. My mom always let me take. I'd get out of school Thursday, and then get my 70 Chevelle and drive from Hibbing up to Skibo, up by Hoyt Lakes, to my uncle, get ready for deer camp and spend a weekend up there hunting. Oh, we got to do something. Can you hang on?
Sure.
Hey, guys, hopefully the private schools are included in the free lunch. Since you said the state test provided you with a free education, there should be a voucher for the child to go to a private or public school along with the lunch. The private schools, what's the deal with the private schools in this?
Private schools, to my knowledge, if not all of them, the vast majority of them already participate in the National School Lunch Program, so they are indeed included in this ballot language.
Okay, so private school, they can say, we want the free lunches too.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. What other information do we need to get out there, Robin?
Oh, we've just been hitting it hard. I think like I said, I've never done anything like this before, so I'm learning as I go. But if people want to stay up to date, and especially with our action steps, when we're going to start collecting signatures, what have you, need to get on right now, togetherforschoolmeals.org. Scroll to the bottom and sign up for the newsletter.
Togetherforschoolmeals.org. Correct. .com, .net, .org.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Scroll to the bottom. You'll get all the updates. You can even sign up as a supporter on that website. And then we're going to have to start fundraising and collecting signatures. So we're going to need your help.
All right. So again, for this free school lunch measure, togetherforschoolmeals.org is where you go for all the information. Any idea? Well, I suppose you got to wait here for the Secretary of State and the Attorney General. And they got 5 days to 5 to 7 days to do this.
Yep. And then we have 15 days to really finalize it. Who knows? I guess we might talk about specifics before it's actually approved and just kind of go back and forth. Okay. And then at that point, I believe is when we can start collecting signatures.
All right. And are you going to be looking for people to help do the signatures?
I bet we are. Yep.
You got a lot to collect
all the way across the state.
Okay.
We've we've got a lot of people already that said they're standing in line to do it.
Really?
So we just got to make sure we'll have training for everybody. Okay. So, oh yes, it's this is rural, metro, across the state, small school districts, large school districts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're it's like farmers, and it's just amazing. It's amazing.
Have you had, and you don't have to give any specific names, of course, but have you had any of our state lawmakers reach out yet and say, hey, this is great?
Yes. Okay. And those were typically the ones that supported the legislation before.
Okay.
And others that are upset, mm-hmm, because they think it should have been kept at the legislative level. And I said, but we were there.
Yeah. Well,
so I get it. I respect their opinion. But that's where we're at.
But if it's at the legislative level and it doesn't get done with multiple tries, that's when the people need to step in and say, okay, well, we're going to do it this way. Then we're going to give it a shot this way. If it passes, then it passes. If not, then, you know.
Yeah, there were a couple oppositions to it. You know, this isn't the state's job, or mm-hmm, they have a limited budget, just like you and I do in our household. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't a high enough priority.
Sure.
Against all the other things that they have to juggle. And I understand that. And I was always respectful of that when I was testifying.
All right. Anything else before I let you rock and roll?
Nope. Just remember, keep your eye out for when we start fundraising and collecting signatures, and check out the togetherforschoolmeals.org website.